I'm just going to start by reading something to you, and then we'll go from there. And you're going to think it's really odd, but just hang with me. So, petrol, car, my warm new jacket, miles running, miles smiling, miles can talk, my health, my home, my shelter, toilet roll, my church, you ladies, the moon, it was really pretty tonight, opportunities, Lewis Watson, because he came through for me today, and my husband putting the boys in the bath. And you think, that's an odd list. I'm going to talk to you tonight about thankfulness. I'm rubbish at thankfulness. Absolutely rubbish at it. I don't know when I became rubbish at it. I remember being quite good at it as a small child. You didn't really get things unless you said thank you anyway. So, as an adult, I've not been too great at it. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just because it's quite humbling at times when you have to live by faith and people maybe give you things and you just, it's humbling to be grateful and to be thankful. In Luke 22:19, it says, and when he had taken the bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in looking at that word thanks, it's actually the word, and maybe if you're Catholic or were raised Catholic, you'll understand this word. It's the word Eucharisto in Greek. That's where we get the Catholic term Eucharist. Thank you. It comes in many forms. It has, when you break it down, you, Kyra, Kyrie, Risto, there's many words that's used to make up the word. It means to give thanks, to be grateful, to express gratitude, and to feel thankful. I like that God makes room for a feeling in that, you know, because he can be so analytical at times. But we all know what it's like when we feel so thankful and so grateful for something in our lives. It comes from one of the words called Eucharitos, which is mindful of favors. And that, I just wrote it in capital letters because I thought to myself of all the favors that have been bestowed upon me, not just through humanity, but through God himself and the Son, Jesus Christ. And the greatest favor of all being that he would step down as king of the universe. You know, it says in Genesis 1, that let's make man in our image. You know, he pre-existed with his Father, with the Spirit, and they broke apart that relationship temporarily for my benefit, for your benefit, for the benefit of the world. You know, that could not have been easy to break that apart. I mean, just think about the things that you go through in the relationships that we have to walk away from his Father and his relationship in that triunity in the way that he knew it for our benefit, for the favor of us, to do us this favor of salvation. You is the part of the Eucharisto. It means to be well off. We are all well off. No matter how bad it is, we are well off. In this country, we are well off. It means to fare well or prosper. And I thought about that song where we sing, it is well with my soul. It means to act rightly, because to give thanks is a right act. It's a good act. That's why we teach our children to say thank you. We know it's right. We know it's good. We know it's virtuous. It is right to give thanks. And then the rest of the part of Eucharisto, which is charizomi, which is part of one of its root words, it means to freely give. And I just love that because two ways thanks is funny, weird. As the more I looked into thanks, there's so much of it that really, and it reminds me of salvation in general, has nothing to do with us, has everything to do with him. And in giving thanks, it's like this reciprocal circle of his goodness and our thanksgiving just going round and round. And then one of the times it's used as frankly forgive. And I love that because when we come to thankfulness, you've been frankly forgiven. You know, we have been frankly forgiven. It means to do something pleasant or agreeable to one, to do a favor and to gratify. To show oneself as gracious, kind, and benevolent. To grant forgiveness and to pardon. To give graciously. Do you see how, like, in even the word of thankfulness, there's this symbol, this vision of God's benevolence to us and our need to be so aware of it and grateful for it. Charis, I love this part. Charis is the word joy and grace. Joy and grace. And it means thanks for benefits, services, or favors. How many services has God served us, towards us? How much service has he given us with his love and his Holy Spirit and his gifts and the generosity towards us? And then his benefits. We have done nothing but benefit from knowing Jesus Christ. It has been to our absolute benefit. And though he loves us dearly, it's probably to his detriment, but it is to our benefit for certain. And the favor which he's given us, and the recompense, and the reward, that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, lovingness, grace of speech, which is probably why at some point in history we started turning praying for a meal into grace, giving thanks, being joyful, rejoicing over what we've been given, a sweetness of what sits before you. You know, that oatmeal that I got to eat this morning, you know, that porridge, just that sweetness and that charm and that loveliness. But it also, to me, it just exudes praise. You know, it's that, Lord, thank you so much. You know, when Kathy was saying tonight, a praise point, you know, there was more prayer requests than praise point, and we forget. And it's just our humanness. It's not a judgment, criticism, or looking down the nose. It's just a reminder, that praise point. And that's why today I just sat and did that, you know, throughout the day as I was doing things. I was, oh, that and that. And it's good to sometimes just take a minute, you know, and just to say, man, that moon is beautiful tonight, Lord. And you created that for my benefit, our benefit, your benefit, you know, to be glad, to exceedingly overwhelm, to be well and to thrive, you know, in our thankfulness we thrive. And we do thrive. In the spirit of thankfulness, something happens that I don't know. I don't know. I would say it's maybe a spiritual thing. Things, when we start to give thanks, our eyes are lifted from what we're dealing with to our God who is greater. And then we remember things are well with our soul. And that heaviness is lifted from us. That life is given to us. To be thankful, to give thanks, to feel thankful. Where there is thanks, there is joy. Expressing our gratitude towards God. I read a little article today, like a little chapter in a book, and one of the things that she said, I actually had written it down to read to you, but I didn't bring the book, I'm sorry. I'll do my best to do it justice. And that was that no matter how dark our lives are, how bleak, whatever the situation is, we can give thanks in that situation, not necessarily for, because it's not fun to have horrible things happen to us, but in that we can cast our eyes on God. You know, he never said be thankful when things are great. I don't see that in the scripture. He never puts actual thankfulness in terms of circumstance. It's just be thankful with a grateful heart. You know, be thankful. And when you read verses on thankfulness, it's not with some sort of because of scenario. It's just be thankful, be grateful. And no matter how dark the situation is, we can be grateful. We can be thankful. And I know that our flesh doesn't want to receive that sometimes. We say, how can I be grateful in this situation? If you knew what I had to live with, and I don't understand why God does what he does, and blah, 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 blah. And our flesh refuses that. But God comes in and he's like, I didn't say within certain circumstances you are to be thankful. I'm commanding you to be thankful. And one of the things that the Lord spoke to me at the retreat, and I don't know if it was for the benefit of someone else or for the benefit of myself, but in thankfulness, we can go before the Lord and we can be, why don't you? Why haven't you? Why can't you? You know, Scott and I had this talk the other night about, why do we see so little deliverance in people's lives? Why is it that people become saved, but that you don't see these massive transitions? You know, you see these long drawn out. And we were talking about, does God come and deliver you immediately from some things, and some things you have to work out, and sin, and all these things. And we can be quite like, wrestle with God. And I don't think that's a bad thing, by the way. I don't think wrestling with God is a bad thing. Until God says, you need to stop wrestling. And then I think we stop wrestling. And that's a verse that he gave me when I was at the retreat, was Isaiah 45:9. Woe to those who quarrel with their maker, those who are nothing but potsherds among the potsherds on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? And does your work say the potter has no hands? And I've been meditating on it since the retreat, and I've been thinking, that is what we do. We come into his presence sometimes, myself included, and we think, I didn't ask for this. I don't want this. Why did you make me thus? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? I serve you. Why have you allowed that? Or I've prayed. So why did you let that happen? Or I believe that I claimed that scripture. So why did you? And we're having that wrestling. And God's like, excuse me, I am God. And I'm the one that commands how things will be. And I'm the one that determines how things will go and why things are thus. And in that, we need to be grateful. And that's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it as a fact. I'll need the window open, please, if that's okay. I'm not saying that's easy, and I wouldn't condemn you for doing otherwise. However, he did say be thankful. He did ask for us to give thanks. He did teach us about thanks. He acted out in thanks. He spoke about thanks. He was the one that lifted the bread and gave thanks. He was the one that lifted the bread and rejoiced. He was the one that lifted the bread as the example. And it's not ironic that when he lists that to give thanks, it's the bread that is a symbol of brokenness. The more I looked at that, I was like, why would he use that in the whole issue of brokenness and how he was about to go to the cross and his blood and the bread being broken? Because in our brokenness, in his brokenness, and what he knew was before him that was going to cause him to drip drops of blood, there was thankfulness. And he tells us in the scriptures, we'll not be any better than him. In the midst of what we go through, thankfulness. In 1 Corinthians 10:16, it says, is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? And that's 1 Corinthians 10:16. There's a part about entering into the body of Christ that is about brokenness. And there's a part of recognizing that communion service as brokenness and his dying and being broken for us. And we are now a fellowship of the blood and a fellowship of the bread. We're a fellowship of the kingdom. In Luke 17:15-19, and even if someone would like to read that, Luke 17, that way I don't run through it too fast. Luke 17:15-19.
Now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Mm-hmm.
In verse 17, you have,
17, uh-huh. Where there are not 10 cleansed.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
Where are the 9? Where there are not any found who returned. To give glory to God.
That's also the word praise, which is also the word give thanks. You know, 10 of the lepers were healed. One came back to give that praise, to give God that honor, to give God his due. Ephesians 1:11, it says, in him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. And outside of that, I wrote in parenthesis, even suffering. Even suffering is worked towards his will. And you think, I don't want that. That is even worked towards his will. And then John chapter 11, verse 38, where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. John chapter 11. I'll read that. John chapter 11, verse 38, and I'm going to go down, I think, to 44. Yep. So, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 3 or 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Now, as I taught in my workshop, I do not believe that the Bible is magical. I do not believe that it has little magical things that we do. If I say this or I say that, that will happen. I don't believe that. I do believe, though, that the Bible is full of principles. And those principles can teach us things. And here we have a dead man, and then we have our God saying, "Father, I thank you for hearing me." And then we have the dead man rising from the dead. And I think sometimes in our lives, everything's just a bit dead. A bit just dead. You know, we're frustrated, our faith is dead, or whatever is going on. And we're just wallowing in the death. You know, it becomes regular. It becomes part of. We don't stretch ourselves very much. We're a little bit kind of reconciled to whatever's going on, surrendered to. And there's God saying, "Thank you for hearing my voice." There's Jesus giving an example, calling out to God and giving thanks. Giving thanks to him. And I believe that when we give thanks, it produces, I'm grasping, I know, but listen, I think it produces life. I think the more we remember what God has done for us, the more our eyes are cast upon him, the more we remember what he's capable of, the more we can have faith and believe, and the more we can ask. And then the more we become thankful. And I think it's just this reciprocating cycle. And I think that when we cast our eyes back up, those things that feel so dead, why is my faith dead? Why isn't God answering prayers? Why hasn't God done this? Why is that happening? I don't understand. And then we cast our eyes up and we give thanks. And then God fills us with that remembrance. Remember, I always love that verse in the Old Testament. I can't remember where it was. I don't know if it's in Isaiah or if it's in the Psalms or in the Proverbs. But it's the Jews, and they're recounting what God, great God, things God has done for us. And they say, "You parted the Red Sea, you know, forever be your name glorified." I can't remember if it's "forever your name is glorified" or something. And then they say, "You cast down the Egyptians in the sea, forever your name shall be praised." And they're going on, or "your love is never ending," or something like this. Psalm what?
I think it's Psalm. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's a Psalm. And they're recounting all the good, glorious, wonderful things that their God has done for them and taking them out of just captivity. And they're casting their eyes back on him, and they're praising him for the good that he has done. And I think that that's an example here. In our nature, we are fallen. And in our nature, we are like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We see something and we want more. We forget to be grateful for what we have. And it's our sinful nature to be like that, to look and say, "I want that, and why haven't you healed him yet? Why haven't you touched his life yet? Why haven't you done that yet? Why am I still this way, and why is that that? And when will that end? And why? And we want that more. And I believe me, I think sometimes God puts these circumstances in our life so we will run to him, and we will seek him. And I think that we look at those things and we, in our sinful nature, why is it thus? And God is saying, because I'm God and you're a piece of clay. And I don't think that our God looks at us down like that. I think he's like, I've created you. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. In Luke 22:19, once again, that's the verse I started with. I'll just reread it. And when he had taken the bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Giving thanks in remembrance of what he's done. Giving thanks and remembering what he did for us on the cross, but every other little thing in our lives. And I know it was silly that I said toilet roll, but it's something I've been grateful for since the day I got saved. Do you know, because I like having toilet roll. I actually, you're going to think this is really disgusting. I lived without toilet roll for a whole year, by the way. I was a student, I was an exchange student in a foreign country, and my family was from the Green Party, and they believed in recycling things, so I wasn't allowed to use toilet roll or feminine products. And so I'm grateful for toilet roll. I'm grateful for all the things. I know that you are grateful because I know you and I know your heart. And I know that even in the darkest of days, you long to be right with God. You know? So I had a little inspiration today from the Holy Spirit, I think, because I'm rarely ever inspired. And I went to Tef Asda, and I bought you all a little thank you card. And I thought that maybe what you could do today, well, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines, but maybe just even one thing that we can be thankful for. So I'll pass those down, and I want you to keep them in your Bible or wherever, on your refrigerator, whatever you choose, and you can use them as a bookmark maybe even. And you can remind yourselves, today, I was thankful for that. And I can look back and reflect that I'm thankful for that. So if you want to go ahead and do that, and then after that, we'll just have a wee... I'm not one of those people, I'll confess, I'm not one of those people that likes to force you to talk out loud. So I thought, rather than saying out loud what we're thankful for, which would probably be a nice thing, it's just not in my nature to do that, because I don't like to do that. So I thought if I could get you to at least write it and put your mind on it, that would be good. And then we'll pray after that.